to some futuristic plans for our workhorses, our trucks. From the world's biggest storage battery in South Australia to plans for a mission to Mars, it would seem nothing is beyond the imagination of Elon Musk, the tech entrepreneur, who, as you know, has been wowing them in Adelaide this week about space. But if that isn't enough, his company, Tesla, plans to reveal a new electric-powered semi-trailer next month. Now, the few images released thus far show a huge, sleek, forbidding machine. Have a look at it. Described by Elon Musk as a beast, and it looks like that, with some predictions that it could turn the industry upside down. While Tesla's making every single part of the new semi, here in Australia, we have companies, it turns out, already working to electrify the fleet of trucks we use. See Electric is a Melbourne-based automotive technology company that's working to meet growing demand for electric trucks, and its executive chairman, Tony Fairweather, joins us now. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Geraldine.
Also joining us is Bayard Jafari, who's CEO of the Electric Vehicle Council. Hello, Bayard.
Hello, Geraldine.
Now, Tony, from the little that you've heard and seen about the new Tesla semi, how would you describe it?
I describe it as being a catalyst for change in the commercial vehicle industry. This segment's ripe for an electric vehicle transition. It's fantastic that Elon has undertaken this project. A little bit surprised that he's targeting the heavy duty or the prime mover segment as an initial. It's one of those segments that has some range challenges in that prime movers are typically running between cities, and if there is a constraint to electric vehicles, it is in the range. So I was a little bit surprised that he targeted that, but based on the specifications and details I've seen, I think Tesla's hoping to be getting 200 to 300 miles out of it, which a lot of prime movers worked within that limit. Yeah, I think it's a very exciting move.
Yes, I mean, various people are getting incredibly excited about this, saying this is the biggest disruption in decades because the heavy vehicle industry has been slower, much slower, hasn't it, than the retail car industry to start even thinking about adapting to electricity.
That's right. The common thinking has been that electric vehicles aren't ready for trucks yet, that the technology isn't advanced yet and we're still a few years away, where, again, Elon Musk is proving everyone wrong, saying actually we can produce one and we can produce one at a rate that'll be so much cheaper to operate that it's more efficient for companies to start transitioning to cleaner, healthier electric vehicles today.
Now, I have also seen coverage that the whole capacity of batteries thus far to pull the sort of loads that the big semis and so on have is unproven. Now, what's your sense of that?
Well, again, this is one of the great announcements that Elon Musk is making, saying that he believes that the torque and the pulling power of this vehicle, if you were to tug of war it against the diesel truck, it will be able to pull the diesel truck up the hill. So, yes, there has been common thinking of where the technology is at, how efficient the vehicles are, and particularly in what is able to be mass-produced out of factories. And Mr. Musk's announcement is that actually that's incorrect and we can be there today.
He's absolutely correct with that. In terms of the torque, electric motors have significantly more torque potential than diesels, and it's delivered on a constant basis. So
this is using lithium-ion batteries, is it?
Absolutely. But it's actually about the drive itself. So one of the challenges with electric vehicles, and at Sea Electric, we're producing small and medium-duty trucks. So we're in a smaller space in terms of the vehicle size than Elon's targeting. But one of the challenges with electric vehicles is actually deploying the torque and the power in a constant manner, so it's not excessive. So there is absolutely no issues with electric technology being of equivalent, if not superior, deployment of power to diesel vehicles. That's right.
But by the sound of you, Tony, and you, Bayard, we're not going to have truck drivers in the middle of the Nullarbor plain patiently recharging their vehicles. Is that right?
No, that's right.
The plan, I presume, for yours as well, are sort of big conurbations, with big metropolitan areas where and trucks move from, say, 2 hours outside of the centre. Is that it?
Out of regional areas. But I think then that next bigger message there is that the technology is moving so much faster than everybody keeps expecting. We keep making projections that we thought we'd be where the Tesla Semi is at today by 2020, 2021. And in fact, no, we see that there is a major brand saying we can already do this today. So when we then look at long hauls and being able to cross that Nullarbor, you need to look at those projections of how long the battery technology will take to get us there. And the answer is it's probably going to be much, much faster.
The point is, Tony, I'm intrigued as to why you got into this in the first place. When did you see there'd be an appetite for this?
So it was probably 3 or 4 years ago that we saw the potential for this particular segment of the commercial vehicle industry. And it was driven by the fact that the small and medium duty truck segment, of which we see thousands of on the road every day. Exactly right. You know, your TNTs, your tolls, your Coles delivery vehicles, etc. Those particular vehicles typically only do a fixed route on a daily basis. So they do relatively low kilometres, typically less than 200 kilometres a day. Majority of them are in that range. They're back to base, so they have plenty of time to charge overnight. And the commercials of that particular segment, when you're comparing against diesels, has narrowed significantly.
What about charging stations?
Well, in the case of the application that we're targeting, it's back to base, so it's in a depot it's charging off a three-phase power point on the wall. So the charger is actually on board, the high-voltage charger is actually on board the vehicle, so it can actually charge it at any time, at any place, as long as there's a three-phase point. But for this type of application, it's one charge overnight, they do their run. Yeah, under 200 kilometres, back to base, and then charge for 3 or 4 hours overnight.
So, and exactly what do you produce the whole engine?
We produce a whole drivetrain. So, yeah, we're an automotive technology company. We've developed what we call C-Drive, which is the electric drive motor, so a replacement for an engine and transmission on a truck. However, it's more than that, because all of the ancillaries that operate off a diesel engine need to be electrified. Your power steering pump, your air compressor for your braking, etc., all needs to be electrified. And yes, we're installing that into our own glider donor chassis, if you like. So we've got a van product, 10-ton product, and a 14-ton product. And yes, they're imported glider chassis, two of them out of South Africa and one of them out of China. However, our big picture is actually being able to offer our technology to original equipment manufacturers around the world as a alternative to adapt their platforms into electric, licensing that technology globally. And we're well developed with that in a range of markets.
It's not just Elon. And Bayard, what is intriguing to me anyway is that the Australia Institute brought out a research paper just this week talking about our rising fuel emissions from transport infrastructure. So electricity emissions are coming down, but transport infrastructure is rising because of the rise in diesel use.
That's right, Geraldine. So it's really hard to overstate how important the type of investment companies like Tony's are making is. Road freight in Australia alone accounts for around 22 megatons of carbon emissions every year. That's like being able to address that is like being able to shut down two of our most heavily polluting coal-fired power stations in one swoop. So being able to make that transition means that at a time when our electricity generation sector is getting cleaner and greener, and we've went through all the pain of getting renewable energy in, we're seeing that being negated by having one of the heaviest polluting road fleets across Australia.
So yes, us and Turkey.
Us and Turkey.
The only ones going up in the
world. World leaders and being the worst. That's right. Our fleets are actually getting more polluting as time goes along, and there's no excuse for that anymore.
So can you give us any concrete figures about the take-up rate of electric trucks and whether moving from diesel to electric will have any genuine impact?
Well, I think we're about to see a catalyst in actually seeing a mass market produced one come out of Tesla. What we know about electric vehicles more broadly as well is that we already have 2 million EVs, electric vehicles, on roads around the world, and another 1 million expected to be sold this year. And by getting up to 2030, 2040, we know that more than half of the vehicles on roads around the world will be electric ones. Major markets like China, UK, France, India, Norway, and Netherlands being smaller ones as well have said that their entire future will be powered by electric vehicles. So really all that's left for us in Australia is to decide what role we want to play inside of that new industry. It, for instance, makes perfect sense for batteries that are put into those electric vehicles to be manufactured here. But we only get that once the government gets up and decides to start supporting this market.
My guests are Tony Fairweather, Chief Executive of Sea Electric, an Australian automotive technology company, and Bayard Jafari, CEO of the Electric Vehicle Council. And we're talking about this possible game changer, and we will see if it turns out that way, of electrified trucks, medium and long haul. So do you see, Tony, how you got funded in the first place is an interesting story in itself, because that came from investment by the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So they've supported us well in terms of a finance facility for inventory, primarily focused on being able to fund the builds that we have in Australia for Australian customers and export customers.
That was to scale up, was it? You'd already started, but this was to scale up.
That's right. It's effectively a funding line that enables us to grow at a much greater rate.
And what about Bayard long-haul freight? We are a big country. It's great to be talking like this, but is it really going to make a difference if we can't think about long-haul freight?
Well, what we have to remember is that battery electric vehicles are at the beginning of their technological life cycle. So every year they're getting both more efficient, more powerful, and cheaper at the same time. Already they cost about, running an electric vehicle costs about the quarter in petrol, in fuel and maintenance savings. So as years go on, that price continues to drop, and it makes a lot more sense for people to be able to transition towards electric vehicles. Now, long-term freight may not be here right now. People set their projections as to when the technology will be efficient enough to be able to start replacing long-haul and road trains. But what we are seeing is year after year. Well, I'm very happily not in the game of making projections, because every year that gets cut in half. And just as importantly, we're scaling the actual manufacture of the products as well, which makes them much cheaper at the same time.
What do you think, Tony? I mean, are you at all planning to go into long-haul freight?
Not at this stage. The segment that we're focusing on has a substantial volume and opportunity. So the light-duty and the medium-duty segment is our key focus. I think we're probably 4 or 5 years away from the prime mover or the long-haul opportunity and bus opportunity. So buses is a great opportunity for electric vehicles, with them so many on the road. Added challenge with buses is where to fit the batteries, because they're a low floor type product, and the fact that they operate significantly more kilometres than the light duty and medium duty truck vehicles do, and they typically operate much longer hours. But there is no doubt that within the next 3 to 5 years, the majority of commercial vehicles, buses and trucks, will be electric. Yeah, it'll be driven by the commercials as well. Yeah, the financials, the total cost of ownership. We are now in in this quantum shift of transition, where it's not just about the environment; it's about the numbers as well.
Well, look, we didn't even get to the possibilities of hydrogen vehicles. It'll have to be another time. Look, thank you to you both, Tony Fairweather and Bayard Jaafari.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Geraldine.
And Tony is the chief executive of Sea Electric, which is producing these new trucks. And Bayard Jaafari is the CEO of the Electric Vehicle Council. And can I commend that you look at a Der Spiegel piece, Slow Drive to Electric Mobility, about the German car makers. This is back in the car arena, and how they're trying to sort of ride two horses at the one time, both produce in the normal way and then plan for the future, and spending absolutely billions on it. It's reprinted in Friday's Australian Financial Review. Your thoughts, most welcome.